This is the 500th episode of the show, which simultaneously feels a little wild, feels like an accomplishment, but it also felt pretty easy. And I don't mean to downplay it. I hope none of that sounds like in the ego. It reminds me of my YouTube days. I made well over 1,000 videos on YouTube, and I remember one person pointing that out to me, and it felt effortless. Even though it literally wasn't effortless, I felt like I was doing something I really enjoyed. And I definitely feel that way about podcasting, actually much more so than YouTube, at least up to this point. So today I thought I would reflect a little on my journey as a podcaster, share a little behind the scenes about how I think about things, any lessons I've learned, and hopefully this will be valuable to you, whether you have any interest in podcasting, maybe just as a listener, understanding what the experience has been like for me. And also I'll be bringing my thoughts based on my work in the podcast industry. And I think that's a good place to start because you may not have heard me talk about before how I make the majority of my income from consulting. I make a little here and there from content, but actually this podcast doesn't make much money. I do this podcast because I love it. I love the process of podcasting. I love the connection that I feel with listeners like you when I hear from them. Although, to be honest, I don't hear from most people. That's probably the one thing I don't like about podcasting, is that unless I'm recording an episode live, which I'm not doing today, I'll talk a little bit about that in this episode. If I'm not recording an episode live, I'm just sitting at my computer talking essentially to myself. And that's not really weird these days with all the content out there, but it still feels strange to me because podcasting feels very intimate. And to speak something out into the world, to record it, to post it, sometimes share it weeks or months, a long period of time after you finish recording it, and then somebody listens to it and you never hear from them. I guess it's kind of like a book, except books often get reviews and things like that. I guess podcasts do as well. It just feels different. That's one of the biggest things that's different for me about podcasting versus YouTube and social media, where I felt like there was a lot more activity. Podcasting isn't fully as a medium set up for a ton of back and forth communication. There are ways to do that. There are various tools. There are the review section, but usually you leave one review and that's it. It's not really an ongoing thing. You can use Patreon, for example. A lot of podcasters use that. And by the way, I've had Patreon set up for this show for years, but it's really not active. Some people still contribute money in there. That's probably one of the only ways I continuously receive any sort of income from this show when I'm not working with sponsors. And I don't post any updates in there. And that amazes me. People have just continued to support this show despite my lack of activity there. So shout out if that happens to be you. I acknowledge that and really appreciate it. I think it's so incredibly generous. And yet we still don't have a back and forth going. And then there's the private community Beyond Measure, which if you've listened to the show recently, I'm sure you've heard me mention a ton of times. I started running that community almost 4 years ago, and it's one of my favorite projects ever. I really love connecting in real time with people. So that's where I've recorded a lot of episodes, although I'll share now that I decided I want to pause doing live podcast recordings. Most of the people that show up to live recordings are people that I end up seeing at other times of the week in Beyond Measure. So I still feel like I have a form of connection with them. When I decided about a year ago in early 2023 to experiment with recording the podcast live, it was purely to have that real-time interaction that I've been craving. But I have to say that it's something that's felt hard for me, especially over the last 5 months or so with my consulting work being so heavy. Sometimes I just feel tired, and I guess everybody can relate to that, but it's hard to show up for something when you're tired. And I don't like to show up to anything and not feel connected. I don't want to put up a wall. I don't want to be superficial. And so it's really challenging for me to muster up the energy to record a live podcast when the times have been a bit tricky. I usually have the most time and energy on the weekends, but I need that time to rest and recover. So I've set a boundary to not work on the weekends, or really try not to. And so that includes recording the podcast, that includes doing stuff within the Beyond Measure community. And it's just started to feel like a time crunch. And that's something actually that's been on my mind a lot lately. I don't know if I'll get into it, but I do intend on recording a podcast episode about time and all the different ways that I've been thinking about time a lot. I guess I will probably always be contemplating it, but it's felt so heavy on my mind. I've been thinking a lot about how I use my time. And it's been a huge factor since my consulting work picked up a lot. And I guess I can speak about that a bit because that ties into podcasting. I mentioned that I mostly work in the podcast industry as a consultant, and that's brought me a lot of joy. And I do see a direct correlation between starting this podcast and doing that work, much like when I started social media back in, I think, 2009-ish, maybe, well, a little bit earlier, depending on if you count my personal Facebook. But when I started approaching social media as a business, I also started getting clients, people who hired me to help them understand, utilize, and strategize social media. So I worked as a social media strategist for many years. And then when I personally started to shift in terms of my approach to social media and reflecting on some of the mental health implications of social media, I didn't feel like I wanted to continue regularly consulting on social media because it just felt out of alignment with my viewpoints and my ethics. So I realized that I had learned so much about podcasting and had developed such a big passion for podcasting that that made sense to transition from social media strategy into podcast strategy. And I've been slowly building that work up. There's actually some overlap with social media because one of my clients called Podatize, who hosts the show, they help edit the show sometimes, although this episode will be edited myself just because I can do it really quickly. That's a huge benefit to working in podcasting, is now I can do pretty much everything myself. But when I first started podcasting very seriously in 2019 with this show, I didn't know what I was doing. I had one podcast before back in 2015, and that I did all on my own. Well, technically, I had a co-host. The two of us did it together, but we did it all on our own. We didn't hire any help. We scrapped it together, and I think maybe we recorded like 10 or 15 episodes and then stopped. I've often said that was a big regret of mine. I wonder what would have happened if we had continued working on that show, or if I had continued with it on my own. Anyways, in 2019, I met the founders of a company called Podatize, and they helped me launch this show. Tracy and Tom Hazard are their names. And about 6 to 9 months after launching the show or working with them, they hired me to help with their social media strategy. And at that time, in early, mid 2020, I was still feeling pretty good about social media. I went on their team as a consultant. And if you have not done consultant work, let me describe that a little bit because I don't want to assume you understand how that works. I do freelance consulting, meaning in the United States, we do 1099. And that means I'm not an employee, but I will work with a company under a contract that generally covers how many hours and how much I get paid and et cetera. And there's a period of that work together, and that can be extended. And much to my surprise, that work with Podatize has been extended. It's been almost 4 years since I've been working for them. And I still do social media consulting with them. They're my last remaining social media client, although that's evolving too. I won't share any behind the scenes stuff, but we actually just had a meeting today looking at what social media looks like in 2024, because that's constantly changing. So anyways, Podatize really helped me understand the podcast world. I actually went through a training that they offered called the Certified Podcast Strategist Program and became a certified podcast strategist as a result of that. And last year, when I was really figuring out what I wanted to do work-wise, I leaned into that certification along with my well-being coach certification. And I looked at the two of them and started to explore what I could do. So I started offering a lot more well-being coaching services within that Beyond Measure private community I mentioned, and also outside of it, just doing private coaching work. And I also started to explore how I could support other podcasters, and the latter ended up becoming the main part of my work. And it's interesting because every podcaster is a little bit different. And I started using this phrase that there is no right way to podcast. And I deeply believe that. I have to tell myself that very frequently because I get in my head. With this episode in particular, I got really in my head. First of all, I am releasing this. Gosh, I even lost track of time. My last episode came out. Ooh, boy. It's longer than I thought. It's been 2.5 weeks since my last episode came out. And that gave me some anxiety, but I had to coach myself through this. So combining my well-being coaching background with my podcasting background, I said, it's okay to not post an episode until I feel ready. And that's a little bit tricky advice. And this is where I think having a coach is incredibly helpful, because it reminds me a lot of our health and well-being, in that we can often find it hard to figure out when we should allow ourselves to take our time and rest and maybe procrastinate a little bit, versus when to, for lack of a better word, this is not a word I love, but I'll say it anyways, when to have discipline and say, I'm going to do this even when I'm tired. I'm going to do this even when I don't feel like it. Great example in my personal life is yoga. I love yoga, and I've been practicing yoga since, I think, somewhere between 2006 and 2008. I remember taking a class at my gym and started feeling very drawn to it over the years. And now I practice yoga at a studio almost every single day. And every day I don't want to go to class. Every day without fail. It is extremely unusual for me to have the thought of, oh, I can't wait to go to class. I dread it. I have a class coming up in a little under 2 hours, and I feel sick to my stomach. Not really, but like, oh no, it's Friday. I don't want to go to class. I just want to lay around. I'm tired. But every time I push through that feeling and go to class, I end up feeling grateful that I was there. I never regret it. Even if I feel a little stressed sometimes, like when it comes to time, for example, where I've still been struggling to find my time balance, even if I feel like I'm squeezing yoga into my day and there's a little bit of that stress and tension from trying to do too much, I still am grateful that I went. And in terms of podcasting, that's a very similar experience. However, last week, I let myself off the hook. I did not end up recording in advance or any period of time where I could have squeezed in the podcast. I just didn't do it. And I also postponed this recording I'm doing right now several days because I just did. And that's okay. Just like it's okay if I skip my yoga class, even if I know logically that pushing through the resistance is really helpful and that I won't regret it and I'll be glad that I did it and I'm working towards my health and fitness goals, it's still okay when I don't go to class. I didn't go to class yesterday. It was actually my birthday on March 21st. And I felt like the stress of trying to do yoga before I went out to my birthday dinner and all that stuff, it didn't feel worth it. But I do have a little bit of a regret not going to class because I know it feels really good. So it's that duality where a couple things can be true at once. And in terms of podcasting, I've really found after doing so many episodes that a lot of things don't really matter that much and they're not a make or break thing. I think the reason I didn't release an episode last week is because I didn't feel like I was going to do my best. Today turned out to be a great day to do it because I actually felt excited about recording this. Even though I didn't have a great idea of what I was going to say, I had the general gist of it. And when I sat down in front of my mic today, I was really looking forward to pressing record. And I didn't have that feeling for the last few weeks. The other reason is that in my head, I started to overcomplicate things. And I think this is a very common thing with content creators in general, but podcasters tend to feel like they need to get it right. They need to have it perfect. They need to have this and that and all of these things. And it actually starts to feel very overwhelming. And sometimes just sitting down and pressing record is the best way to move forward and move past the resistance. Because like many things in our lives, if we wait till everything falls into place, we'll be waiting a long time. Especially if we're in a position where we've got a lot going on, which frankly, most people do. It's rare to meet somebody who doesn't have what they believe to be a busy life, who doesn't have a bunch of other things and have to let one thing drop to make the other thing happen. And I think the reason that I've been able to reach 500 episodes is because I felt very committed to this and passionate about it. But commitment is probably the biggest part because I think most podcasters are very passionate. But being committed to recording as frequently and regularly as possible is so key. And it is unusual for me to not record. Like I took that break last week. That's one of the only times I've done that since I started this show in December 2019. So I want to give myself a pat on the back for that. And that's part of the coaching, right? It's, hey, this is an exception to the rule and yourself. And you also know your audience and the industry. And I know that if it was that big of a deal that I skipped a week, if it was really important to you and you were really upset that I missed that episode, you'd let me know and I would get that feedback and I would make it happen. But that didn't happen. It doesn't happen most of the time. Another interesting thing that I've learned over the past few years is that I completely abandoned my YouTube channels. Channels plural. I had the main one, which was Eco Vegan Gal. Then I had a bunch of offshoots of Eco Vegan Gal. I had Eco Vegan Gal Uncensored, Eco Vegan, or maybe it was called EVG Venture, which was like a channel about all the things I was learning about entrepreneurship and online business. I had Eco Vegan Dog, which is about my dog, Evie. What else? I feel like I'm missing something. Then I started another channel called the Whit Lauritsen Channel, which was my transition away from Eco Vegan Gal. I also started a channel for this podcast, and I just let all of it go. Like, I've thought for well over a year now that it would be nice to record an update video, and maybe I will, but I just didn't record anything because I didn't want to do YouTube anymore and YouTube didn't feel important. And I think I've sprinkled in a few videos here and there very randomly, but I noticed as a result of that decision that nobody really cared that much and it didn't matter. In fact, career-wise did not matter at all to me. I was so afraid of leaving YouTube, social media. I also paused my newsletter. I haven't sent an email newsletter in maybe 4 years now. And I still pay for this email newsletter software that's combined with some of my other business stuff. I still pay for things that I don't even use, which looking back on how long it's been, that is my one of very few regrets in terms of pausing all this stuff is I kept paying for all this business tools because I thought one day I'll do it again. And the money I could have saved. But I didn't know. I actually genuinely thought that I would pick up these things again. So aside from losing out on money by continuing to pay for these services, I didn't lose out on much else. The people that really cared about me found me and they came over to Beyond Measure. So pretty much anyone that was deeply passionate about my YouTube channels came over to Beyond Measure, and there are not that many members in there. So that says a lot. I had maybe close to 60,000 YouTube subscribers on the Eco Vegan Gal channel. And the amount of people that actually came over to listen to this podcast, to join Beyond Measure, was a very small portion of that. And that was really revealing to me as well, because A, it just doesn't matter. I named my community Beyond Measure because I just don't want to measure the worth of someone like you based on you being a number of followers. So another big lesson I've learned, or a decision I've made with podcasting, is I don't look at the analytics very often. I find them superficial and transactional, and they don't have a deep meaning for me. They are just analytics that show approximately how many people listen to episodes, and sometimes that can feel beneficial to me, but most of the time it doesn't, because you are not just a number. And if I continued down that path of viewing people that were in my life as a metric, it didn't feel in alignment with how I want to live my life. And one thing I love about podcasting is you don't typically share those numbers publicly. Unlike YouTube, where most of your numbers are very public. How many people watch your videos? How many people subscribe to your channel? And your email newsletter, most people don't know that number. So that's another exception. But most social media platforms, it's all about your followers. It's all about your engagement numbers. And you're very judged on those things, whether people say that they're judging you or not. And most of your income is very dependent on those numbers. So that was a huge reason I just wanted to step away and stop making content, because it was eating away at me inside. I was burnt out. I didn't want to stay on that hamster wheel of trying to get more and more people to watch my videos and follow my channel and leave comments, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't want my money to be tied to that, because it felt so transactional. It felt like I was using people. And I think it's really important for me to let you know that the podcast space is, for me, not like that. Now, some podcasters continue on that pattern, that those choices, the way that they do business, the same way from social media and YouTube. They do the same things podcasting. They make money through advertisements and sponsors. That is still pretty prominent in the podcast world, but I would say it's a little bit more rare, because podcasting is a bit trickier than those platforms in a lot of ways. There are ways to, quote, game the system. And when I learn all these strategies and things like that, there are approaches to it. But it's a lot harder to actually get the really big numbers that sponsors want. However, there are many approaches to podcasting that can feel very organic and lucrative at the same time. So people will use the platforms like Patreon, where people will pay a podcaster to give them different types of access. One of my clients has a really successful podcast and a great Patreon account. And this client releases a private podcast, at least one. I think there's actually two podcasts on there, and has just all these cool perks, giveaways and discounts and so much cool stuff there. But I have not had much success with Patreon in all of my years of using it. I think I started using Patreon in 2015 or something. And it did okay for a little while when it was connected to YouTube, but it takes a lot of work. And I think I've said this before, how I've learned from the podcast industry that a lot of the most successful podcasters out there have a team of people around them. It takes money to make money. You have to be willing to pay for help in a lot of ways. And the podcasters I've worked with so far that have smaller budgets, they have a harder time getting traction. And it's a long game, truly. I don't have any specific goals in mind when it comes to podcasting, aside from continuing to learn and to connect with people. I guess those are goals. Some podcasters are like, I want to monetize this, and I want to get on other podcasts, and I want to drive traffic to my business, and et cetera, et cetera. And all of those things are very possible, but they do take a lot of work, and they're very rarely instantaneous. I'm actually right now working on creating a new podcast with one of my clients, which should be interesting. If you are curious to hear more behind the scenes, I can tell you about that podcast, assuming it comes out. You never know. But right now, that's the plan, is to launch this podcast and also to develop a little course around starting a podcast. And my client asked me to create a course that documents my real-time experience building a new podcast. So I'm really looking forward to that. I hope that all comes together. And I'd be happy to share that with you if you're interested, because it's sometimes hard to talk off the top of my head without being asked questions about podcasting, because there's so many things that I've learned over time about it. And this is not meant to be a tutorial, but just more of talking about my experience. However, if you are very curious about what that is, I'd be happy to share all of that if and when it all comes out. And I think that I had no idea what this podcast was going to lead to for me when I started it. It was with a co-host named Jason, and he and I were really good friends. I don't even remember why we decided to start the podcast. Maybe the first episode of this show, we revealed that. I haven't listened to that in a long time. I think the first episode, gosh, I could find out right now, but I feel a little too lazy to go look. I know the first couple episodes, we took turns like interviewing each other, essentially sharing our backgrounds. I just don't remember if we ever shared like why we started the show to begin with. I think we were both curious about it and just decided what the heck, and actually ended up really enjoying it. So Jason was part of this show for, I think, the first 200 episodes. He left the show in November 2020. Gosh, was it 21 or 22? Sometimes time becomes a blur. But let's say a little under halfway through this journey, he left the show, and I've been doing it on my own ever since. And I had no idea what was even going to happen. Was I going to continue doing the show? Was he going to do this show? Was I going to start a different podcast? But I did know at that point that I wanted to continue podcasting. I didn't know that would become such a big part of my career. I didn't know how much it would excite me. The other thing that I've been thinking a lot about and trying to figure out, I honestly don't have a super clear answer right now, is having guests on this show. I took a big break from it. I haven't had a guest on this show since the beginning of January of this year. And I haven't recorded with anyone for, I think it was like maybe back in November or December 2023. And that's mostly because my bandwidth has felt really limited. I miss having guests sometimes. I don't miss the energy it takes to have a guest on this show. Meaning it here to outline how that all goes. First, I have to go find guests, and most of them come to me, which is great. This is a huge benefit. When you have been putting out a podcast for a while, you get into all these different databases. Some of them you have to submit yourself to. Some of them you just end up in. It's just part of the podcast discovery world. Your show shows up in listings of podcasts. And the more that you've been consistent with a podcast and the more episodes you put out, the amount of time that you've been podcasting, you start to gain a lot of traction. And actually, that's one of my best tips ever, is just to be consistent. It's true of a lot of online content, but very much so in the podcast world, especially if you're smart and mindful, I should say, about SEO, search engine optimization. And that's essentially how you title the name of your podcast, how you title the name of each of your shows, what you write about them in the show description. So if you're listening on a podcast player, which obviously you are, I don't know how else you would hear this show, but on your podcast player, you would click underneath it most of the time or next to it, and there'll be a little like section that has a description. And podcasters that write thorough descriptions often have a better chance of being found. And just like on Google, there are a variety of different podcast platforms that scan your titles and your descriptions for keywords. And that helps people find you, but that also helps the databases find you. So as a result of having done that for all these years, I am pitched every single day by guests who want to be on my show. And it's mostly PR people. So there are all these different companies that will pitch podcast guests to hosts like myself. And they search and they look for all these criteria. And then they will pitch the shows that meet that criteria. So that is a big benefit, that I don't have to go out and seek them. But I do need to review these pitches and then follow up with anyone who I want on my show. And then I need to give them instructions about the next steps. And I've developed all these workflows for this stuff over time. This has become a little bit of my specialty, is coming up with a workflow, that has a search engine optimization component and that makes it easy for the person who's recording the podcast, aka the podcaster, and their guests. That I understand how to do, but it's still exhausting because I don't really enjoy sitting down and reviewing all these guests' pitches, especially when they start to build up. It feels like there's like a mound of or a stack of papers in front of me, but a virtual version. And I also think after 500 episodes, I've covered a lot of different topics on this show, and I don't want to necessarily repeat the same things over and over again. I'm looking for something different. I'm also looking for something that's meeting me where I'm at. What are my current interests in life? Because this podcast is not just for you as a listener, it's for me to enjoy. And I want to feel interested in the topics. Otherwise, if I'm not interested, you're not going to be interested because you can tell I'm not interested. And I think it took me a while to figure out that flow. When I first started the show, it was so much more work. I mean, it was I was constantly pitching people to ask them if they would guest on the show. And most of them said yes, including some big names. There's one person who I guess I can mention who it is. No reason not to. But I very early on, let's see, it was in March 2020. So that explains why it didn't end up happening. I was going to have Kimball Musk, Elon Musk's brother, on the show. Thought he was such a cool person. I still do. If you have listened to or read the book that came out by Walter Isaacson about Elon Musk, Kimball's mentioned a ton in that book, and I really found him extra fascinating. But back in 2020, I was already fascinated with Kimball and his work in the food industry, and he was attending this trade show I go to every year called the Natural Products Expo. And I reached out and I asked if he would be on my show, and I got in touch with his assistant and they said yes. And I was like over the moon. Are you kidding me? Kimball Musk is going to be a guest on the show. I was so excited. And then COVID happened and the trade show got canceled. And it took me a while to figure out how to have guests on the show virtually, because before COVID, Jason and I would record every guest episode in person. So we were very limited to all of our contacts in Los Angeles and then anyone who was visiting Los Angeles or if we were visiting their area. I think actually our first few guests were when Jason and I did a road trip in 2019. We had a conversation with our friend Kelly Bennett and Karen Baginski. And Kelly, we went to her homework situation in Las Vegas. And Karen, we were at her house in Denver, Colorado. And that was really cool. We brought all of our equipment with us, and we were going to do the same thing for Kimball Musk at that trade show that didn't end up happening. And then through COVID, we decided to do everything virtually. So I figured it all out and made it happen and figured out this workflow with remote recording, which ended up being great because it was a lot less time to record virtually because I just would put on a nice enough shirt I could continue wearing my pajama bottoms, which, funny enough, I'm doing right now. I'm in my pajamas recording this. Maybe it's not funny anymore. Maybe it's so commonplace. You're like, yeah, don't most podcasters wear whatever they want because it's audio only? I'm not recording video, but I do actually record video most of the time. That's another thing I've been thinking about recently. I haven't posted any of the videos for years on the This Might Get Uncomfortable YouTube channel. Why? It's a lot of work and I haven't figured out that workflow. I know some workflows. That's one of my skills is I'm very tech savvy. I love technology. I love figuring things out. But when it comes to certain things, I get so overwhelmed and burnt out that it just feels impossible. Things become way too complex. And with YouTube, I had a very specific way of doing my videos. And then I finally figured out how I could automate that process. For years, I used to do it manually and it took me so much time. And that's why I stopped posting. And then when I figured out how to do it through some tools that shortened probably about a 1-hour workflow, I got down to, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes, which sounds great, but still there were complexities. And I think in my head, I just started to not care. So that's the big reason why there haven't been any videos there, is it just started to feel not worth it. But in my head, I still want to do it one day. I hope for that. I aim for that. It just hasn't happened. And I think that goes back to a number of things that I've experienced. And it, does it really matter? Does it matter enough to do it, I think, is the bigger question. I keep thinking of that example with yoga. And it's an interesting one. Right now, it's 3:11. And the yoga class I want to take is at 4:30. In order for me to get to class on time, settle in, and feel prepared for that 4:30 class, I need to leave my home in an hour. And an hour feels like it'll be gone when I snap my finger. And so right now I'm really dreading that. But I have to ask myself if I can find a way to make that work and go anyways. And as I said before, I usually regret not going to class. So ultimately, the dread I'm feeling right now, which could lead to me not doing something, can be overridden by the experience of doing it anyways. I've found the opposite to be true with YouTube in the last few years, in that I dread it because it still requires work. Even if it's 15 minutes, it's still time. It's still valuable time. And that 15 minutes takes away from something else that I could be doing for 15 minutes that I might enjoy more, or that I might make money from. I don't make barely anything. I got an alert from YouTube sometime in the past year that because I hadn't posted any new videos on my channels, that I was no longer monetizing them, meaning that I wasn't making ad revenue. And that felt annoying. I could have just uploaded some videos and met whatever requirement. But I thought to myself, why? Like, just to make like a dollar a month or something? I don't know. I'm just guessing because I don't post that frequently. It's barely anything. And so with the YouTube channel for this show, I haven't seen enough money or traction or anything that makes it feel worthwhile. And so even if it's 15 minutes, why would I spend 15 minutes on something that I don't really enjoy doing and not going to get any major benefit when I could enjoy something else for that 15 minutes? And I'm sure that's relatable, but it doesn't mean that it's an easy decision because there's a lot of pressure. Maybe for me, the context is having been a content creator for so long, I'm still under a little bit of a spell, for lack of a better word, of the pressure, the questioning. Why aren't you doing YouTube anymore? I almost feel like I should be doing it. I also know as a podcast strategist that there are potential benefits, and the potential of things can feel really tempting to go against what we know is best for us. Oh, it's best practice right now to post on YouTube as a podcaster just in case XYZ might happen. There's a lot of maybe this will happen. There's a lot of possibilities in the content world, and that's tricky. It's a big temptation. Unlike yoga as an example, I know from repeated experiences that I feel physically, emotionally better after doing it. I've proven it to myself. It is always the case. That's why I find it so amusing that I dread something that I know for a fact from my personal experiences, I'm going to be glad I did it. Compared to posting on YouTube or even posting on social media, I know that most of the time it's not worth it. And yet I still feel the pressure. I still feel the guilt for not doing it. I still feel like, wow, Whitney, you can just push through that 15 minutes. And I think that goes back to that episode I told you I would like to do, is how we spend our time and how time is relative to each of our lives. Most of us have very different experiences with time, whether it's an age-related thing, time in terms of time passing and how we feel as we age, which we're always aging. And yet there's all of this interesting perspective on anti-aging and being youthful, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I have addressed these things a lot on the show, but I feel like it's something I want to talk through more because my feeling about time continues to shift. And I think I'm valuing my time more and more because it's felt a bit crunched. And I also have different perspective, right? When a lot of time passes, we're able to look back and say, huh, what was worth it and what wasn't? For me right now, it has been worth recording this show for 500 episodes. Absolutely. I have no regrets. It has been worth honoring myself, like last week when I just didn't make the time for recording this episode. I have found something interesting that I'm reflecting on too. I think I don't have any regrets around any, releasing any episodes. There have been moments that were tough. There were times I think I said things that I wish I had said differently, and I've received feedback on some episodes that either offended or hurt somebody, and I've learned through that. There have been times with guests that were really challenging. I don't regret any of them, though, because I learned so much through doing that. I learned through so much through the supposed mistakes. And also, in this very moment, I'm experiencing something that's so familiar, which is coming towards the end of an episode and feeling like I could do it all over, that maybe I rambled too long, or I didn't get to the point, or it just doesn't feel like a good episode. I don't feel satisfied by it. But I also know from all this experience, I feel this way most of the time. Almost every single episode I record, unless it's with a guest. Actually, this is a good thing to really contemplate out loud, because I didn't finish everything I was saying about having guests on the show, which is that the huge benefit to having a guest is there's a different energy, I think, that comes up with a guest, where I feel like I hesitate to use this word, but I'll say it anyways, that better job. Right now, I wouldn't say that I loved what I said in this episode, but I'm doing it anyways, and that's part of the no regrets thing. Since I felt this way, I feel this way almost every solo episode I do, so meaning when I record without a guest, I feel vulnerable. I feel insecure. I don't love it. I usually feel pretty confident in the beginning, but then like around the halfway mark, I start to feel like, oh no, this is not going well. But I'm going to post it anyways, because that feeling's not going to go away. It's just there. But posting it anyways is the key. And that's, again, how I reached 500 episodes. Are they all great episodes? Absolutely not. But I do think when I reflect on which episodes I like the most, they're with guests. And that's a really good thing to remind myself right now, because I need to push through the resistance to get back on track with recording with guests, because I want to feel that satisfaction. I want to feel that connection. Having guests on the show is amazing because it's that conversation, just like I mentioned, and it brings them so much joy. I shared a little while ago, one of the reasons I paused recording with guests is just to reflect on how I could shift things a little bit, make it feel like a worthwhile effort for both me and the guests. And there are times where it feels like I'm putting myself last, because it requires a lot of time and energy and overall work to put out a guest episode. And sometimes I'm thinking, I'm doing this for the listener and I'm doing this for the guest, but what about myself? But in this moment, I recognize it is for myself, because those are the episodes I like the most. And this is also where your feedback comes in. I miss the connection and the feedback from listeners that I used to get on platforms like YouTube. But what I don't miss is the criticism and the trolls and speak in a way that is triggering for me. Maybe they don't even tend to be rude. They're not technically rude people. They are people that I perceive to be rude. And I don't miss that. I think if I received comments on this episode that were critical, I'd struggle with it. But I do have a part of me that wishes I'd receive feedback, because maybe I'm looking for some validation to keep going. And that's the work that I have. That's why I'm going to continue. That's why this isn't going to be the last episode. This is why I'll probably record 600, 700, maybe 1,000 episodes of the show, because I'm learning so much about myself through this process. I'm seeing my own growth. I'm seeing my own discomfort. That is ultimately the reason that I do it. There is satisfaction in this. Do I know if I'm going to go to yoga in 45 minutes? No, I don't. I really don't want to go. Maybe I'll come back to this episode. It'd be fun to record a little part at the end, an update where I tell you, did I go to yoga or not? Gosh, I don't know. I just got hit with such a huge wave of exhaustion, and I still have a good amount of work to do. But In these moments, I find that the answers come eventually. I'm going to step away, maybe take a little bit of a break, turn my attention on some other things. And giving myself that space is where I find the answers. Walking away from an episode, the vulnerability goes away. The confidence comes back. And that's when I'm able to post something, even when I'm not that happy with it. Okay, this part is about 90 minutes later, and I did not go to yoga because I realized I am truly exhausted and I still have some things I want to push through this exhaustion to accomplish today. It was hard for me to even come on and record this part, but I felt like it was important for myself and maybe for you too. It was hard because I didn't want to admit it, and that actually almost drove me to go to class. But after I finished the main part of this recording, I went and sat on the couch, and I could not overcome that tiredness. I guess I could have. There's the mental side of it. I could have perhaps willed myself through it. It's not that it was impossible. It's that it didn't come that easily to me. And I could have had an energy drink or something. Sometimes I do that, but it was a little too late in the day. Anyways, I made a hard decision to not do something that was hard. And it's an interesting process. And I do think it ties so much into podcasting because all this is hard, but life is hard. All sorts of decisions in our life are hard. Some of us just want to document that hardship, like myself. Maybe that's why I enjoy it so much. I don't know. But that's my update. And there's a little bit more that I recorded earlier that you will now hear. Thank you so much for listening. I deeply appreciate it. I would love to hear from you, as I said. If you would like to share anything, I really think Beyond Measure is just continuously a place for conversations. And I would like to be more confident in saying that is the place to reach me. In many of these episodes, I've given the option to email. But truth be told, I don't like emailing. I really don't. I haven't. Probably most of my emailing life, which hasn't been my entire life, but I think email can bring me joy sometimes when it's something personal or some exciting business thing going on, but I just don't like sending or receiving emails that much. Giving somebody the option feels important, but something that I'm working on right now is, am I giving somebody the option because it's best for them, or am I giving them the option at the expense of myself? I want to be flexible. I want to be mindful of other people's feelings. Those are incredibly important to me. But I think looking back on what felt worth it and what really mattered, sometimes when you tell somebody what works for you and that's it, they will go that extra mile for you. You give them the opportunity for that. And maybe keeping too many possibilities and options open just ends up not benefiting either of you. Let me practice that today. If you would like to get in touch, you can come join completely for free Beyond Measure. Even if you come in once, send me a message and leave. I hope that's not the case. You can just use it as a messaging platform. In fact, one wonderful person did that. They came into the community and they wrote me a message and they're like, this isn't really for me, but I wanted to message you because you said this is where you can be reached. And I thought that was so cool. And they're still a member and they're not active in there. They don't talk to anyone else in there because it's like a private community, meaning like you can correspond and participate. And there's all sorts of various things to do in there, but they didn't want any of that. They just wanted to talk to me. And I thought, hey, that's cool. You can do that too. So you are welcome to do that. Beyond Measure has direct message, private messaging, very similar to social media. And it also has comments and all that other stuff. It's, I think, where I would like to spend that extra 15 minutes that I mentioned earlier. As much as posting on YouTube feels tempting, what I would rather do is spend an extra 15 minutes in Beyond Measure working on it. Because, gosh, I have so much I want to do in there, but haven't given my full attention. Anyways, I feel like I'm rambling, so I'm going to wrap this up. Thanks again for listening. Hope you're doing really well. And I'll be back with another episode some point. And who knows what it's going to be now that I've wrapped up the Well-Being Beyond Measure series. I meant to give an update on that too, but I wasn't sure that made sense in this episode. To be continued. That's all I'll say. Leave it at that. Bye for now.